You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of November. Thankful things about being a Jazz fan. Yeah, why not? Plus, we will look at what's going on with the team, what things we might be concerned about. Look at the road to 52, get ready for the Kings, and answer a bunch of your questions. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers about the Jazz. You can get on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Happy Thanksgiving. We will not do a show tomorrow. We will do one on Friday. You get a bunch of content, though, tonight with Empty the Noggin and Postcast and all that, so you should have enough stuff for Thursday if you need it. Hopefully after a Jazz win against the Sacramento Kings. Worth taking a moment in the midst of a 8-9 start and high expectations that feel as though they are not being met, though I'm not sure that that's true at all, and I'll show that to you in a second, on things to be thankful for. Personally, working for an organization that is one that's easy to represent, you're not worried about with all the other stuff going on in the league, from Minnesota to Washington to everywhere else, when you don't have those items taking place, is certainly a pleasure. Working for a family that has been consistent in all their years of Utah Jazz basketball and who they are as a family, something to be very, very thankful for. And then to have a fan base that is as passionately committed to this team and personally this podcast and what the extra content that I've put out to allow us to build something in this marketplace that's not taking place anywhere else, particularly thankful to you. I'm also thankful, frankly, to the people that have been willing to put their money into this show and sponsor it. So, from the great people, the store, to Intercap Lending, to the Murdoch family, to Rob down in Shamrock Auto Group, to all the wonderful, wonderful people, Mizuma USA and their neat product that they've put out there that have been willing to. Grip 6, Keenan and the crew, grip6.com/lock for your holiday belt. All of them have been willing to support this show. Devin Cash from the very beginning. Super appreciative. Intercap Lending. I think I mentioned them already, but super appreciative of everyone who has been with us, and appreciative to those that actually were with us for a while and then the advocates and decided that it wasn't the best fit for them. Some of the others that pop in every now and then, Rad Concrete Coating and Snowmobile Show. So really appreciate that kind of support from all of these people, or else, frankly, we probably still wouldn't be doing this. All right, let me try to put some perspective on something, and then there's legitimate things that I think you can be concerned about and we can talk about with this team. And I'm going to use the Locked On Jazz Forum, which is so good, and people are doing such a great job to kind of touch in on. But if you've been with us over the years, I've built a program kind of called The Road to Whatever. And this year we did The Road to 52. And what The Road to 52 is you go look at every team throughout the year and you say, okay, we're playing Dallas 4 times. We should beat them twice at home and once on the road. That was before I realized how good Dallas might be, but, go with that. I looked at Denver and said, okay, we're going to beat them twice at home and none on the road. And we're going to go look at Portland, and we're going to split home and split road. And just went through every single team and did that. Minnesota will split home, split road. Oklahoma City will win both at home, lose both at the road. Lakers will try to beat them 3 out of 4, I had. So that's, we got some tough ones coming up. And I got us to 52 wins on that, in that model. And it's not, you have to win, you win 33 home games to do it. You actually win 15 road games, and is I think the way it comes out. That comes out to 48, so that's not quite right. There's something wrong in that math there. That's why I stuttered. Oh, you win 19 road games and you win 33 home games. So we have to win a lot at home the rest of the way. But doing this right now, if we play like a 52-win team the rest of the way, we win 53.5 games. The schedule has been so brutal that at 8-9, we're actually ahead of pace to beat a 52-win team. I have us winning in New Orleans this year. I had us playing two games, winning one on the road, and we've already won one. So that's, you're up half a game there. Memphis, we're up half a game on the road, down two at home. You just kind of start to walk through this, and you actually are ahead of pace on a bunch of these different games and places. Dallas, that, you know, we lost by 100 points, and it feels terrible, but we won there once and never projected that we'd win there twice. You go over to Houston and New Orleans. Those were not places that I thought we would. New Orleans, I thought we'd get one win this year. Houston is not a place I thought we'd get a win. Boston's not a place I thought we'd get a win at either home or away on our way to 52 wins this year. And let me point out that 52 wins is four games higher than what Vegas projected. So I may have been overshooting what was realistic for this team. So we're 8-9. I agree that things don't feel great. We're 20th in the league offensively. We're 13th in the league defensively if you take out garbage time. And we're not shooting it great. There's a bunch of things there that I'll touch on in a minute. But it is worth just kind of like, well, what does it really mean that the schedule's been that hard? That's exactly what it means. That we're 8-9 and we're pacing at ahead of 52 wins based on our opponents. Now, that all can come to a screeching halt if we, and here's what we don't know. And this is what we talked about yesterday. Are we not playing well because we haven't had a simple game yet, and so you haven't had, and we're worn out, and because we played 11 road games? And so you're putting out really bad out performances with some regularity. Or is there something that's not right about this team, that it just doesn't have the urgency and the desperation that it had last year when it had to win every single night to be able to just make the playoffs? It's worth remembering we didn't clinch a playoff spot until about three games left in the season. So we were playing with that desperation for the whole way. And then we got smoked on the last night of the year in Portland. So it wasn't like we were, you know, unbeatable in that stretch. And we lost to Atlanta. So there's probably some element here where our memory of how great we were compared to what we really were might be a little misleading, but that's neither here nor there. What I think is important is trying to figure out, had we had games against the Knicks and other teams at Phoenix that aren't particularly good, would we feel differently about this team right now, or would have we dropped those games also? Now, on the road to 52, you know, this next stretch here kind of, we better get going. So Sacramento, I had us beating all four times this year, which is probably a mistake now that I see how good Sacramento is. And so somehow you have to beat Sacramento three times. The schedule kills us on some of these things. We're going to have to beat Sacramento three times in 5 weeks. That seems unlikely. The Lakers, I have us winning one game in L.A. this year. I don't know if I think it's Friday. Maybe they'll be on a turkey hangover. Indiana, I have us winning at home. And then Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Miami, I have us winning two out of those three. So better click in here. Then San Antonio at Houston after that, despite the, you know, I don't look at the schedule and where we are. I have us splitting both those games with San Antonio and Houston during the season where we just win one home game. And once again, we play San Antonio on the 4th and then again on the 9th. So you have that weird kind of funky aspect of things that you play someone back to back. So yeah, it better flip around here pretty quickly, or else then the road to 52 is not is not one that's going to be able to be held up. But right now, we're ahead of the game on the road to 52, which I think exemplifies how crazy the schedule's been. And for those people who didn't hear it yesterday, and I printed out, there's only three teams of the Western Conference playoff teams, excluding the Warriors, and I just don't have them on the chart, who have a winning road record. Jazz are 6-5. Portland is now 5-3 after their win last night. And Houston's 5-3. We've played 14 quality opponents. If you include Denver, we've played Dallas, we've played 17. Houston's played 13. They're 6-7. We're 6-8. New Orleans has played 13. They're 6-7. We're 6-8. Portland has played 12. They're 9-3. Give them credit. Minnesota's played 14. They're 5-9. Less than we are. Clippers have played 12. They're 7-5, though they lost last night in a game that's not a quality opponent. Denver's played 12. They're 6-6. So Lakers have played only 11. They're 5-6. We've played, other than Houston, the fewest games against non-quality opponents. We're 2-1. The only teams below 500 is San Antonio at 2-3. That would be more concerning. Portland's only 3-2 in those games, by the way. Clippers lost last night, so they're 4-1 in those games. So let's see. I think that's the big unknown, is these areas where we look so bad, how much is there something fundamentally wrong, and how much is this just a scheduling quirk? Now, I'll address my main concerns coming up here and take some of the comments from Locked On Jazz as well here in just a second. I might need your help. So my wife asked for a 20-pound turkey at the store, and Scotty got her a 19.9-pound turkey. But then my parents came to town and brought a ham, and then we're flying to L.A., and she realized that the time to cook a 20-pound turkey is going to take too long. So we went to the store yesterday, and she asked for a smaller one. So if anybody needs a 19-pound, 9-ounce turkey, there's one at the store that I really need someone to go get, so that Scotty's not sitting there thinking that I screwed him by not picking up the exact turkey. So that's at the store. It's Destel turkey. It's awfully nice. It's a 19-pound, 9-ounce turkey. It's Locke's Old Order. And if you want to run by the store, it's 6200 South and 20th East and pick that up. That would make me super, super happy. While you're there, we also picked up all of our veggies and all the beautiful stuff in the left. We got a lot of sugar because we love sugar. I got my mudslide cookies. We got the cake de flores with the June pie, pumpkin pie, all sorts of great things. They have the La Colombe cold brew coffee now in the back shelf, which I requested. That's absolutely fabulous. I don't know if Scotty's trying to make a little statement or not, but over on the orange, fresh squeezed oranges has Locke's pick, and then the bigger one, it says Scotty's pick, like he can handle the bigger orange juice and I can't. I don't know what that was all about, but seems like there's a little bit of like peeing on territory there. I'm not sure. 6200 South, 20th East. It's the store. Check it out. And if anybody wants a 19-pound, 9-ounce turkey and want to pick that up so that Scotty doesn't get stuck with it, you'd really make me happy. That's at the store at 6200 South and 20th East. Yeah. We haven't paid for it or anything. It's just there. You got to pay for it. I mean, if you're really desperate, let me know. All right. Anyway, that is at the store at 6200 South, 20th East. All right, let's get to the questions from Mike Hart at a Locked On Jazz poll. Biggest reason for Jazz inconsistent play: freedom of movement rules, no urgency or believe the hype in the preseason, other teams vastly improved, each season is hard reset regardless of the number of returning players, road schedule, loss of Igor Kokoschkov. It's a great question. That's really well done. Let me address them. The freedom of movement thing has me a little concerned in this realm. If you look at our defense, we've gone from 6th in the league at defending the shot to 23rd in the league defending the shot. So why? What's going on there? So let's break that down into certain areas of the floor first. To try to discover what we think has happened there. So Why have we gone from 23rd to 6? It's a small sample size. Is there something funky? Was there something funky last year that didn't make sense? And here's what I've got for you. And using cleaning the glass, so this is only the time period of the game that matters. Our defense at the rim last year was the 8th best defense at the rim. This year it's 19th. It's only 0.6 percentage points worse, though. 2 years ago, it was 3rd at 57%. Now it's 62.6. So that's interesting, okay? But small amount, but interesting. We're not allowing any more shots at the rim. We have an unnatural circumstance going on where people are making mid-range shots at a rate that is higher than average and will come back down. Teams are at 44% on all mid-range shots, 43.5 and 40 on the short ones and 45.5 on the long ones. Last year, we were 6th best, which is probably not right, but we were 6th, 7th, 9th, and 12th the last 4 years. Maybe that's equalizing out, and we're getting killed a little bit on it, but opponents are not going to shoot 44.3 on all mid-range shots when the league average is 40. It's just the standard deviation's not that wide. That's unlucky. Corner threes. We're allowing a considerable amount of more corner threes than we used to. We've gone from 5.4 to 7% in the last 2 years. Not sure why. Teams are not making them at a higher rate, though. We're the 4th best team defending the corner three. Above the break three, we're allowing about the same amount as we did last year, 8th in the league, 1 percentage point more. But teams are making from 36% to 37%, which is a big difference. Our overall effective field goal percentage, like when you're talking about this difference that we went from last year defending, let me see if I can find that. Last year when we went from 50.9 to 53.3. So it's a big difference, 2 or 3 percentage points. That's the biggest jump. The second one is we're not forcing turnovers. Okay, so let me summarize the shooting first. I think there's some that's just going to equalize naturally, and then we're just not quite as prominent at the rim right now as we were. Okay, so we've got to figure that out and why that is. Last check, I think a lot of that's when Gobert's off the floor. Both of these might be related. We're not forcing turnovers. We've gone from 15.5 to 14.5, 1 percentage points, but 5th to 18th. Is that the freedom of movement call? That Joe and the guys, let's go with Joe and Royce, were really holders. Really holders and grabbers. And that now that they can't hold and grab, we're not... guys are being able to run their routes. We're not able to force the turnovers we did. And then flip side is they're able to get on top of the rim more and they're allowing more shots at the rim. I think might be a legitimate issue. That's a pretty good sized concern of mine. And that the league is promoting athleticism and we're not an elite athletic team. We don't have elite athletic positions. So that, to me, jumps out as a real possibility and something that would be a problem that could last. That's very, very high on my list of concerns. Okay? So, yes, great call. From Andy, Locke always says, Gordon Chiesa used to say you can't change one person on the starting lineup, it has to be two. So thinking Derek to the bench in favor of Crowder would help the offense. Would it make sense to say Joe and then bring Dante out? I'm not sure I think changing the starting lineup at this point is going to do it. And I think that we look at things game to game. Like if you bench Derek and Ricky, I think you lose them both for the year. And if you're and by the way, this would be gets to my next concern. If you were to start Jay Crowder, tell me what the 48 minutes of power forward is. I'm concerned we don't have 48 minutes of power forward play right now. The way we're playing. Like, how many minutes a night can Derek really play the four when everyone else is stretched out is a legitimate discussion we've had time and time again. And as of right now, it seems as though that number for the two of them, Derek's playing 23 minutes a night, Gobert's playing 32, so that, and we've been blown out enough that that number's now skewed, but it looks as though they're playing about 10 to 12 minutes a night. The George Niang is playing 8 minutes a night and has gone from being red hot to struggling. I'm sure he's somewhere in between. And Thabo right now just doesn't look like his legs are back from the surgery. You know, or unfortunately he's 34 years old, so who knows. But right now, one of my concerns is that the way the roster's just played out unintentionally is that we don't have 48 minutes of power forward minutes. So you go start Jay Crowder, I don't know how you link that to the end of the game. I mean, you'd have to have some thoughts on me on that one, but you start Jay Crowder, you bring Derek. Derek is now just playing backup center. And so if Derek's just playing backup center, also, is Derek interested in being there? I mean, I know he's getting $18 million a year, but he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's non-guaranteed at the end of the year. That would be a pretty big statement in that regard. He's also playing pretty well. And, you know, that would be a tough one. The other one is when you look into the Favors Gobert minutes, and I believe if you take a look at the Favors Gobert minutes and you include Donovan as on the floor, they're fine. It's the game. Now, they struggled badly in the against Sacramento on opening night. So that could be of concern tonight. The speed, Sacramento plays with incredible speed. And if that's that could hit you again. Here, I'll give you the facts on this one. And this is one of those cases where I think you have to look kind of beyond the numbers a tiny bit to see what's there, because when you just look at the Favors Gobert minutes, they're not great, but they've been fairly good for a while. And when you put Donovan, so right now when Favors and Gobert on the floor, the Jazz are -1.4, and when Gobert's on the floor, we're a positive 4.5. If I bring Donovan onto the floor, so now I have Donovan, Gobert, and Derek on the floor, the numbers become positive. So it's the two games in which Donovan didn't play that are having a huge impact on the Favors Gobert minutes. Does that make sense? They're positive 2.4 when Donovan's on the floor. So here's my point to this. If they're playing 12 minutes a night at the four and they're positive, why would you take away those minutes when you're having a hard time linking 48 anyway? Does that make sense? Right. Today's show is brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and the guys at Intercap Lending did a wonderful job for us probably over a year and a half now. Maybe, no, it was last season, so probably a year now. They still actually, you know, kind of crazy in the mortgage business. Intercap still actually has our loan. Like, this is what you get with a direct lender. The coolest thing is all the reviews that people are getting from that are locked on people that have used Intercap Lending with us and the growth that Intercap has had since they started advertising with us. Brad Hickman said Intercap Lending was the best experience I've had in a refinance and a home loan. Steve Carter gave detailed options custom for my situation. The loan process was made easy by the experience, knowledge, timeless, and personable nature of Steve. I would totally agree with this. And other members of the Intercap Lending team, if your mortgage options, give them a call. Tanner Lacey said, I worked with Steve Carter. It was by far my best experience with a lender. He was always on top of everything, was in constant contact with me and my builder to make sure everything was moving along great. He was always super helpful. There was one point in the process where he hit a little bit of a speed bump. Not only did Steve help get us over, he stayed until 8 p.m. on a Friday making sure. You know, my story is the exact same. he actually drove a bunch of documents to the practice facility to make sure we could get them done because I didn't have enough time before we flew out that day. His number is 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Steve Carter, 385-885-28. No overlays, no additional requirements. Direct lender. Get difficult loans done, whether that means you're self-employed, you have business assets, multiple properties. They can get it done. Realtors are heading to Intercap Lending. Why? Because they get deals done, and that's when the realtors get paid. So check it out, Intercap Lending. Steve Carter, 385-885-28. Today's show is also brought to you in part by MyBookie. It's one, if you're planning to play this weekend, it's important where you play, and that's why you can do it at MyBookie. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online. Their mobile site is easy to use. MyBookie, you win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. They're slammed with new bettors, so they have a special deal for you. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. Join MyBookie with the deposit, and they'll match dollar for dollar your deposit. That's to activate the offer. It's locked 25. Visit MyBookie and don't forget to use the promo code locked 25 when creating your account. Claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. All right, I want to give you a quick Sacramento preview. Another great question from the Locked On Jazz group. Notice Ricky's right index finger has been taped pretty much all season. Do you know anything about it? Could be a factor in his poor shooting. Last two games not included. Yeah, last five, Ricky's at 48% and 45% from three, so hopefully he's turning the corner. You know what? I don't know. I haven't asked specifically. It's always one of those hard things to ask a player about the injury on his shooting hand, but you're absolutely right. It is taped. It is on a shooting hand. I don't know that that's what makes his shot flat. The shot is flat. That's the problem. That's what happened on the five free throws. Lane Jenkins, do you think there's any relevance to the idea that our schedule could have been easier if we played Sunday home games? I think by definition it has to be. This is unique that we're on the road all the time in the way we are, and you know, sometimes it's arena block states. I don't know if we did that. The Warriors used to do that all the time. The Warriors used to block all of their October, November, December dates on purpose. At least this was what I was told. I don't know this for a fact. So that then they'd have home games late in the season so that they'd become go on a run at the end of the year and then push season ticket holders. And that would renew season tickets, even though it would have destroyed the season beforehand. I doubt we're doing that, but that's like an old thing that was in the league. I'd be pretty surprised if anything like that happened in our organization. So I'm not saying that we did. I'm just kind of but you know what? You don't play a lot of Thursday games unless you're on national television. We're by definition of location not on national television very often. And you don't play Sunday games because of the predominant religion. So you're suddenly forcing the NBA to schedule you inside five nights. A bunch of these arenas have hockey. And so I do think there's a chance that it has an impact on us. I do. So thanks for the question, Lane. Keith Anderson, greetings from Calgary. The Jazz having troubles with individual on-ball defense compared to last year. I have no data, but it feels like people are getting by a defender easier than they did last year. I think there's something to that. That's my concern on player movement. So the three concerns I had written down were player movement, increased need in athleticism. Two was 48 minutes of power forward minutes. And three was shooting. We're still getting the best shots of any team in the league, and we're 2 percentage points below it. Those are the three areas where I would sit concerned. All right, tonight, this one's easy. Sacramento is awesome in transition and awful out of transition offensively. In transition, Sacramento is the number one offensive team in the league, and in half court, they're 26th. and they play the second most amount of transition and the least amount in the half court. So if we can slow them down, they play the second fastest pace, we play the 23rd, we can do that. Interesting little note on them. Defensively, they're really bad on handoffs, and they don't deal with the pick and roll man well. So Rudy and Derek should be able to get things going, and then maybe Ingles on some tight handoffs to the basket and things of that nature. It's an interesting little statistical note on them. They take a lot of mid-range shots, the fifth most of any team in the NBA, and they allow a lot of threes. They're 27th allowing the corner three, 24th allowing above the break three, and 20th allowing you on the rim. So we should have a pretty good shot profile by the end of the night. Bogdanović is back, not the same one that we saw in Indiana. Buddy Hield is great. He was the number one catch-and-shoot guy in the NBA last year, according to some metrics. He's averaging 20 points a game, 19, 20 over the last 10, 43% from three. He's just fabulous. De'Aaron Fox has emerged over the last 10 games. He's 50% from the field and 47% from three and 18 points a game. They're flying, catch-and-shoot for Hield. Jazz have got to be locked on Hield. That's a good player movement one to watch. Watch that matchup and see if the Jazz are able to stay attached to Buddy Hield, and that's a sign of the player movement stuff. All right, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful for your commitment to this show and your support of our sponsors as well as your support of the Utah Jazz. So thank you very much. Locked on NBA is a fun one today with Jake and John. Make sure you grab that. And then Friday, Adam and Anthony will be back with you on Locked on NBA. Locked on Kings, Matt George is super fun and positive about his team. They do some great production work on that if you want to grab that today and catch up on our opponent. Have a good one. See you.